Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
So it's our final show of November, and shall we call this one coming up Wednesday night a big one at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Fred Glass, Vice President Director of Athletics, called away late, but stepping in as always, Deputy Senior Director of Athletics Scott Dolson, as we get right to it today. Gary Sims a little bit later, sectional champions last year, and they're off to a 7-2 start. And Gary's got a little story to tell about this 81 national championship reunion. He was kind of close to that team. He's doing a heck of a job out there in Ellettsville. The Mustang girls are off to a 7-2 start, and we'll talk hoops with Gary a little bit later. We're going to talk a lot of things, and I don't know where to start, but let's quench the rumors. Any Bob Nysiter? So well, I haven't seen him personally, but that doesn't mean he's not around. But what do you?
Well, Joe.
Scott, welcome on board, my friend.
Thank you. Well, Fred said you were going to ask easy questions. I didn't expect we're going to start with that one. But we're really excited about tomorrow night. We think it's going to be one of those special, memorable nights at Assembly Hall. The 81 reunion is really going to be neat because as I talk to many of the former players that are coming back, they have not had an opportunity to be together collectively really since the 81 game, really. They have not been together as a unit because we've had reunions, but because Isaiah was playing or Randy Whitman was in the NBA, they just have not been together. So we think this will be a really unique opportunity tomorrow night.
You know, obviously, it was one of the three that Bob won. That was my favorite because it was a basketball team that steamrolled the competition once they got to the tournament. I mean, a team that won now the Big Ten championship. They were 14-4, but that being said, they entered the postseason with 9 losses, and up until the time they were crowned that night in Philly, and when they beat North Carolina, no team had ever lost that many and won a national championship.
I tell you, it's amazing because as I look at that team and you look at from top to bottom the talent they had, you do wonder how they lost 9 times because they really they just came together at the end, obviously at the right time, and had some mesh issues to work out throughout the season. But when you look at the starters with Isaiah and Randy and Ted Kitchell and Landon and Ray, I mean, right there, it's just a perfect group. And then you look off the bench what they had, and it was just a great team. And what's been really fun about putting this together is we really got really neat guys. You know, they've all been around and supportive in multiple ways of the program. Landon Turner is a perfect example. Landon is, I can't tell you how many times we call on Landon, and he's there for us, and he's symbolic of that whole team.
So well, it's great leadership with Ray Tolbert and Glenn Grunwald, who were our captains on that team. And obviously, we got Isaiah, we got Randy and Ted and Ray and Landon and Coach. They're all in the IU Athletics Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I tell you what. Well, that's just one of the sidelights. We enjoyed watching Mr. Schwarber hit the ball out of the new Bart Kauffman Stadium a few times before he left and went to the minors, and then boom, Chicago Cubs World Series, and honorary captain to add a little bit more fire to get the people ready to go when tip approaches at 9:15.
Exactly. I think the we're going to test the walls of Assembly Hall. It's going to get pretty loud when he's introduced before the game, and Coach Cream presents him with the game ball. And then, obviously, at the halftime, with the halftime presentation of the 81 team, I think I told Jade Grossman, our director of basketball operations, that it's going to get pretty loud while they're inside the locker room talking. It's going to get pretty loud outside, and they'll probably hear the noise. And they did that last year for the 76 team. Jade told me it was so loud inside the locker room because the crowd was so loud when we introduced the team. It'll be just like that tomorrow night.
Scott Dolson, Deputy Vice President and Director of Athletics for under Fred Glass, who was taken away here this afternoon early, sends his apologies, sends his number one man, and Scott has done this many, many times. And, you know, we talk about Kyle being a former Hoosier, and we've got a Jacobs School of Music grad, too, coming back, and he's not bad, and he sings of a different note, but what a talent he is.
I tell you, Jim Corneliuson will be a special treat for our fans. And we've talked about this for a few years now, and it's great that it's finally come to fruition. And he's definitely, when it comes to national anthem singers, I'm not sure there's a more popular and famous person out there. So we're lucky to have him back. He's an IU person. And just adding that to the mix. Number one, it's going to be a big game. Just playing North Carolina in Assembly Hall is huge anyway. But you add Kyle Schwarber and Jim Corneliusen and then the 81 team, it's going to be one of those special nights. And it's going to be exciting for our fans. We've been so excited with the renovation to Assembly Hall and how that turned out and the sparkle in people's eye as they walk around and look at it. We've had such great positive comments from people, how good they felt that went. So, again, we talked about this earlier, Joe. We don't want to make this game into a bigger game than it is. It's just one game and trying to grow and develop this team, and we're excited about it. And it's going to be a special night.
Yeah, it's the final day of November tomorrow, so let us keep that in mind. You know, Scott, you and I have talked, and you've got a big handprint on the Simon Scott Assembly Hall renovation. And, you know, you always are hopeful that things will go right. And since it's been open and since it has seen games and great crowds, everything fulfilling your expectations from, what you had game planned?
It really has. And we really were – we had a big concern going into it that we didn't want to spend that kind of money on the building and then people come in and say, what in the world did you guys do? You know, Fred and I kind of laughed. We said, this could make us or break us here because this is a big deal. And it's going to create so much conversation. And we had a goal of making certain we keep the greatest home court advantage in college basketball. We wanted to keep the feel of the building. And I think all the comments so far, people really have enjoyed it and appreciate the feel. And that's what's so important. It sounds kind of corny to say that, Joe, but when you walk in there, it had to feel like Assembly Hall. And we really put a lot of thought and effort into making that work and then have the modern amenities with the new restrooms and concession stands and the escalators. And we've got more things we'll be adding just in terms of the memorabilia. All those things create the feel of the building. That was really important to us.
Well, it's always been a loud building, and they have cranked it up decibel-wise. I mean, it'll clean wax out of your ears if you're not you have a problem like me, and I'm hard of hearing, but I can hear some of the music that is playing. But, that's part of the ambiance. A lot of arenas do it, and why not, huh?
There's no doubt, Joe, because there was talk, and there has been talk over the years. I've been here a long time, like you have, and people have said, why don't you build a new arena and build it bigger and so forth and so on. And at the end of the day, when we sat down and looked at it, we have such an incredible home court advantage, and we're so unique. And building a new building, we might lose that. And we just didn't want to take that chance. And I give Tom Morrison and his shop on campus and the university architects and Sheil Sexton and all our partners have put this together because they really were able to improve the building tremendously but keep that home court advantage, and that was important to us.
Well, we're just getting going, and that's coming up tomorrow at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Scott Dolson dropping in, pinch hitting tonight for Fred Glass behind the scenes as we take a glance at Indiana U Athletics, the monthly visit by our directors of athletics. And, well, we're just getting started because this is late fall, And the Bucket safely will reside in Bloomington one more year. We'll talk about, lots going on as far as the possibilities of going to various venues. We'll know for sure come Sunday afternoon. And we have our department in the spotlight, our employee in the spotlight, and we'll have more with Scott Dolson when we come back. You're listening to Behind the Scenes. We're on Sports Talk live from Yogi's
Center that we're really excited about. Nutrition is so important these days, and we feel like we're on the cutting edge of that. And we'll also be adding our Excellence Academy. The whole building is going to be called the Excellence Academy building, but a big part of that will be for our leadership and life skills program. We're really excited about that. So it's really a building that will enclose the stadium and cap off with there'll be a nice area on the rooftop. We're not sure exactly how that's going to play out yet, but maybe a fan amenity on the roof with a brand new scoreboard that's going to be on the back end of that. We'll really finish it off.
I've seen the pictures.
It's exciting. Yeah, with the plaza out front, it's going to be exciting. It's going to really look neat. We're excited about that.
Well, no question. And when Kevin brings his seventh Indiana team in next year, that'll still be under construction. But then when we get rolling, she will be ready to rock and roll.
Exactly.
And we will have us an enclosed Memorial Stadium.
Yeah,
I never thought.
Exactly.
I was getting ready because, like you said, we've both been around a long time, and I didn't think that would ever come to pass. Well, here we sit, and 69 years ago, You know, that 47 team completed the four sweep against Purdue. It hadn't been accomplished till Saturday. Just what a great story has evolved with Kevin in his sixth year, Tom Allen, the rest of the staff and the players. And here we are sitting in the same spot we were a year ago. But it's kind of neat now because we've been down that trail. And what do you know, what to, at least you know and how to deal with some of this bowl preparation.
That's a great point, Joe. We feel a lot different than we did a year ago, just that 1 year under our belt, having participated and been through the process, and just at this point in conversations with the Big Ten office, and they're so helpful, and the Big Ten Conference, and you know this, Joe, it's just tremendous, and we feel so fortunate to be a part of it. And they're working hard with the bowls, and there's an order they go in and a system in place, and they keep us pretty well informed. But believe it or not, we won't know, and they think, hey, what's the bowl status? We know the order. We kind of have a speculation that we feel like we've got it narrowed down to a few that we might go to, but we really don't know. It'll be interesting.
The great thing about the league, there this year 10 bowl eligible teams.
Right.
So
right.
And now the loser, the influence of the loss from the Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin Penn State. Will that influence where we kind of sit with regards to bowl affiliation?
It really will. The biggest impact on us will be how many teams do we get in what they call the New Year's Day six, the big six bowl games. So there are 12 teams that really get into those New York six. And if we can get four Big Ten teams into that New Year's six, that really impacts us. So whether we get three or four into that, it's a domino effect, and it determines really where we end up. And so the Big Ten championship game certainly will have an impact on who ends up in the New Year's six, but we're not sure exactly what that impact will be until that all happens. But we'll all kind of find out at the same time. But as I said, I was on a phone call today with the Big Ten office and really got some good insight. And the good thing is they're excited about us. They really are excited about us being in the bowl, and our fans did such a tremendous job last year at the Pinstripe Bowl. In fact, the Pinstripe Bowl staff are calling other bowls, telling them how good we are to work with and how great our fans are. And that's awesome. And so when our fans come out and they support us and we ask them for their support, it really does mean something. And to hear the Pinstripe Bowl folks say that today, what a great job our fans do and how exciting, and they recommend us to other bowls. It means something. So that's a big deal.
And you bring up a good point. And that was a difficult situation, preparing for a bowl game. No, that's when a lot of people behind the scenes, of course, the figureheads and the department heads, but the behind-the-scenes people collaborate with everyone and make it all for IU.
It's a university-wide effort when you go to a bowl. And, of course, we're there, as Billy Ray Johnson says a lot, our director of football, we're there to win the game. You know, we know that. But at the same time, it's a great university experience, and that's so important.
Well, there's three or four possibilities, so we'll let everybody guess until Sunday. And we appreciate what Scott and his crew has been doing here behind the scenes, getting us ready for Sunday, which is a big day for the football program. By the way, as I was mentioning, first time in 15 years, Scott, that we had been able to win four Big Ten games in a season, in addition to this being, and you remember the Mallory years back in 90 and 91, the last time an Indiana football teams went to back-to-back bowls.
I do. In fact, I started in 1990.
That's 25 years ago.
I started in 1990, so I can't believe that it's been that long, and so I've been here that long. But, yeah, you think back to the Mallory years, and you just remember how much respect we had around the conference, and how people really knew they were in for a game, and we're playing in bowls year in and year out, and you feel like we're back to that. You feel like we have that respect, because it's great that we're bowl eligible, we're 6-6, but it's great when fans are saying to us, man, we should have won 8 games, or we could have won 8 games, or we're right there. And in fact, in our call today, I was talking to one of the associate commissioners of the Big Ten, and he said, man, you guys are really close. You guys really had a great year, but And as you know, we're never satisfied.
No.
It really has been a lot of fun. A
couple of them that got away, Wake Forest and Nebraska.
Right.
Both were at home. Both were winnable. Both should have been won. But hey, you know what? That's past history right now. We deal with the present. And, we can't wait until Sunday in the anticipation of where the football Hoosiers will be going. I was out at Cook today and talked to Alexis Gassian, and they're coming off a tough one that got away, much like our men's team a week ago tonight at Fort Wayne. That wasn't very pleasurable, but they responded, the men. And now it's the women's turn to respond. And they, too, will play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They're on the road down in Raleigh on Thursday night. But a nice start by the women.
No doubt about it. And like you, Joe, I've been to a lot of practices, and both the men and the women. And I think both with Coach Crean and Coach Morin, we've got two coaches that really develop the team. And as you see over the season, as they progress and grow together, and we're real excited about the talent on both teams. But to me, with the fun part, and I think for most of our fans, is watching them grow. And I'm excited, and as well as other people, we're about as excited as about our women's team as we've probably ever been, and the job that Coach Morin's doing. So it'll be fun to watch them grow. And I know they were disappointed with the loss this past Sunday, but I think it's, again, all part of the process. And that, again, sounds kind of what the sports cliche is, but it'll be fun to watch them grow.
It's going to be good on their resume anyway, playing an SEC team on the road, and, played them very, very tough. But it was a tough one for the soccer team to swallow on Sunday, losing on the golden goal by Virginia Tech there in the first overtime. But one of Fred Glass's BTS honor roll members here tonight is Tanner Thompson. Scott, he was named one of the 15 semifinalists now of the Herman Trophy, and that's emblematic of it's like the Heisman Trophy in football, and that is going to be announced, the three men's finalists, on December the 14th at the conclusion of voting by the D1 soccer coaches. But that's great news to hear.
Awesome news.
And what a career he's had.
What a great career. And again, our soccer program, that game on Sunday was tough, and it's hard. And as you know, in soccer, what sometimes happens is the team that dominates doesn't always win. And I think we outshot them. When I looked up at the end, I think it was 28-8 or something like that. And unfortunately, we just couldn't get one in the net at the right time.
No, literally the old bounce of the ball worked in reverse. And, they did some good things, Virginia Tech, and they move on. But this young man, whose dad played on the very first NCAA championship game, Greg, back when Jerry had him in that epic, 8 overtime game with Duke back in the 80s. But still calls Loomis, California home, but he is an exceptional young man, an exceptional student, and already, I believe, he told me the other day, he's in the Kelly School. And, and now he's a semifinalist for the Herman Trophy. That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And by the way, Kate Barber was named late this afternoon to the National Field Hockey Coaches Association All-West Region First Team. And what's neat about that is that they're going to announce the All-American teams. That makes her eligible for possibility of being a All-American. What a great career she had. She played in the that seniors game down at Old Dominion a couple of weeks ago, and even scored a goal in the game. But there's another one on Fred's
totally.
Fred's honor roll. And Jasmine McDonald, she was our first player in 6 years to earn an All Big Ten honor in volleyball. That came late this afternoon. Young lady from Cathedral High School, Indianapolis. Wow, another. And, I say that because, I've talked to them all during the courses of their season, and here's another senior leader for Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan. Honorable mention earlier today for Jasmine McDonald.
Joe, that was great news. And couldn't happen to a nicer kid.
I mean,
just really, you like to see good things happen to good people, and it was great to see her get that recognition for sure.
Jessica Leash, by the way, won the Sportsmanship Award in volleyball as well. So that is great news to hear. And we just got word here, and mentioning honor roll, third team All Big Ten, Scott, T. Gray Scales, Rashard Fant. Honorable mention, Marcelino Ball, Ralph Green III, and Marcus Oliver. I find that difficult to stomach about Marcus only being honorable mention. He's just four tackles shy of 100. We know what T. Gray has been able to do and the impact that all of those guys defensively. Jake Bailey won the Sportsmanship Award honoree. So it looks like apparently just everyone that was named to the All Big Ten team were defensive guys then, right? Dave Novak? He slipped me the message. So appreciate it, my friend. So that is good news to hear why we were talking about football. ain't bad when you're number one in swimming.
That's right. Huh? That's exactly. Hey, it's.
That means you're pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's awesome. And I tell you, Coach Lewis has just done a phenomenal job, as you know, and parlaying this Summer Olympic success into this season. I don't know if we've had as much anticipation going into a swimming season on both sports with men and women that we have currently, so it's awesome.
Scott Dolson joining us as we move through here. And Fred always likes, Scott, and you've done this in pinch hitting before, for placing once a month a department and an employee within the athletics realm in the spotlight. And who you got lined up for this month of November as we close that down tomorrow?
This month, we're actually talking about the Cuban Center, and the Cuban Center is relatively new, and tell you how many fans ask me, well, what is the Cuban Center? And I give Jeremy Gray and his team, Jeremy Gray, who's not a secret around here, I think most people know Jeremy from his radio days, but he's one of our most talented young administrators, has done a terrific job, and he really, Fred challenged him to work on the Cuban Center, and Jeremy came up with the concept, and it really has been phenomenal. And really, the way I describe it, because I'm old enough, I'm not a techie guy, so I don't want to get too far on a limb on this and embarrass myself, but I'll say this, that the content that they create, and that's for the normal fan just to say, what do they do in that? They create content. And whether it's video, whether it's voice, it's really content that we can use to promote our program. And the person in the spotlight out of the Cuban Center for today is Mike Dickburn. Mike actually has been our photographer these past 9 years. He's one of those unsung heroes that behind the scenes, every place I would go, Mike would be there with his camera. It didn't matter if it was a varsity club function, whether it was a men's basketball game or volleyball, it didn't matter. And Mike has done a phenomenal job. He actually is leaving us after 9 years. He's lived in Indy. He's commuted.
That's tough.
And he's leaving, which we understand. But he's here tonight having dinner with the staff, and it's great that we can honor Mike kind of as his going-away present. And we'll miss him. He's been a great, great employee and a loyal employee, and just really want to say the best of luck to Mike, and we really appreciate all he's done for us.
Oh, no question. So, I knew he was contemplating it, but I didn't know if it was finalized. But that's great that you mentioned that. And here at Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill, as he gets a nice send-off tonight by members of the IU Athletics Department. Well, you know, we've covered a lot and still lots to do within the realm of tomorrow night. It's going to be a late tip, about 9:15 roughly on ESPN. Boy, this is one time that Dickie V is not even going to be on the first bill of fare on the card. I mean, he's way down the list of celebrities tomorrow night. But a lot's going on, and we wish the Hoosiers well. Obviously, it's going to be I was out, as I mentioned, at Cook. They had already started lining up, you know, the students.
Yeah,
they were out there today.
Were they out there already?
Yeah, they were out there this afternoon about 1 o'clock back in the back there.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I could only imagine.
It officially doesn't start till 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, but they must have been out there.
They were right by that door they like to go into. So maybe they were there.
That's good.
Illegally.
A couple of my kids might have been
know.
In line.
I don't
they
know.
May.
Hey, my friend, always great seeing you. We'll check in with you or with Fred. The holidays are tough to pin down,
right.
And it'll be a quick month. I mean, look to see how many Tuesdays there are in December, and we got us a bowl to go to. We got us a basketball game to win tomorrow night, and it's all go IU. Hey,
well, Joe, thank you so much,
Scott,
for all you do. We appreciate you so much, and I tell you, for the fans out there that don't know Joe, I just told him before we started, I don't know what we do without Joe. He's as good to IU and our community as he could be. We appreciate you so much, Joe.
Scott Dolson, Deputy Director of Athletics under Fred Glass, and when we come back, we'll talk a little Edgewood basketball with Gary Sims and a few other stories unwoven with the head man, now in his 10th year. That's hard to believe. I'm the one I thought was getting old, but Gary still, he's still youthful. He's been there a decade now, and he's got his girls, 7-2. We'll talk the red and black for the ladies. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk, Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. We continue along tonight. Young man that, grew up in this city and played a lot of basketball. Now he's doing a lot of coaching. 10 years, Gary Sims. Doesn't seem like, and that's at Edgewood. You've been around the block, my friend, but hey, so far so good. You got things rolling out at EHS.
Yeah, the kids are doing great. We're up. Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for calling me young man. I appreciated that. But, our girls are – I've got a great bunch of kids. They're very coachable.
Put that a little bit closer.
They're very coachable, and they work hard. You know, you can get on them. You can encourage them. They're going to respond to coaching, and that's and we as coach, I've got a great staff as well, that probably the best staff I've assembled. So, very thankful and blessed with what we have in our program right now.
Well, you got an early start, Gary. I mean, your first basketball game was, you scrimmaged Eastern, and we were still in October, and then you tipped it off on the 1st of November, and now it's the last day of the month. So you got a little bit of a break, but you started off awfully well. You won your first three ball games.
We did. We played 7 games in 14 days, and we got to thinking about that. And, you know, we're going to find out more about our varsity going against other teams' varsities than we will against our JV. And so we scheduled. We were heavy on the front end of our schedule to because we learned a lot, and now that it's kind of slowed down a little bit, we're getting into conference play coming up here Friday, and so we were able to get off to a pretty good start.
You know, you talked about your staff. I see Mark Hamilton, Teresa Bland, Kirk Simic, mm-hmm. and Chad Musselwhite. That's a nice crew there.
It's a really good staff. Mark's been with me now for I think 5 years, and Kurt, of course, was at North, teaches at North, and he's been with us for now too. Chad's volunteering. Chad coached for at Edgewood for a while, and then he had some two young kids, so he stepped out. Now he's back in it, and Teresa is in her second year with us, and all of them are terrific. They all bring different things to the program, and they're all. What I like about them is, you know, they're not well paid. It's a low paying job, and they're there for the kids, and you can tell by the way they interact with them.
Well, you know, we talked just briefly before as the season was going on in the early stages, and you know, we talk about those first 7 games. What is it telling you about this basketball club aside from the record? How's the team chemistry? Because even though you got some scoring punch and some girls that have played and have been under your tutelage at both ends of the court, how's that developing?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Girls basketball, I heard a college coach say once that girls basketball is won and lost in the locker room, and our chemistry is outstanding. We've got great leaders. The freshmen are buying in. You know, the girls that's been around understand this is what we expect, and so the team chemistry is really good, and that's one thing you learn. You know, we had a couple setbacks and didn't score a lot of points in our two losses, and you learn how your team responds to that, and so far it's been real positive.
Well, and you know, you got and your season starts so doggone early, and now you know, I'm looking at the state finals in Indy, and that's February 25th.
Joe, that was a big adjustment for me, you know, because I coached boys for 26 years and then came to Edgewood and started coaching girls. We got to Christmas and we're about done. Whereas boys, you're not even halfway done, and that's exactly right. As the season comes on, you're pretty quick. Like you said, we played the scrimmage game in October, in the middle of October, we've got 9 games under our belt.
Yeah, and by the way, you're going to be over at Eastern for the Toby Yoho mm-hmm. tournament. You've participated in that. That's after Christmas on the 26th and 27th.
Correct.
And it's conceivable things hold sway. You can have 15 wins by the first of the new year.
Well, it's possible. You know, we've got the big games coming up. Is we've got some conference games coming up
Road games too.
And the road games, and that's one of our two team goals is to win the conference and the sectional. Last year was the first year we were able to do both. We've won the conference, we've won the sectional, but not both in the same year. We did that last year, and so we want to follow that up. So we go to Cloverdale, and then we go to Cascade, and both of those teams are averaging. Cloverdale's averaging 58, Cascade's averaging 61. We're giving up 35. So something's going to give there. But the opportunity there to play our conference games here coming up, is we're looking forward to it.
Well, I tell you, you've got a good mix. I mean, Erin Sherfield gave you so much in her entire career, and from running the point and ball handling, getting you into your offense, and specifically at the defensive end.
Right.
But, I mean, you've got some high-quality young ladies back. Serena Morris, who's a senior. Peyton Acuff and Claire Phillips, who's only a junior.
Right.
So you got some good scoring punch there.
Well, you mentioned our top three. Serena's having a terrific year, Joe. She's averaging double-double. She's averaging 12.5 points a game and 11 rebounds. She's shooting 50% from the field, 80% from the free throw line. And she's our quote-unquote five-man. You know, we really don't have a five-man, but she's 5'9". She has to guard bigger people. And she's having a terrific year. Peyton Acuff, you mentioned our other senior that is playing. She's kind of the – you know, you always have to have a girl that will go out and lock down defensively. And Peyton will do whatever we ask. She struggled shooting the ball. The last game she came out and shot the ball really well at White River Valley. So we hope to see more of that. Claire is our ball handling point guard. Has had some big scoring nights. Even when she struggled scoring, she's still getting the ball where it needs to be. So, and then Malia Shotney is another junior that is averaging, I think, in double figures as well. She started off with some hot shooting games, and then it's kind of cooled off a little bit. Now she's picked up the last couple of games, shot 50% from the field the last couple of games. So a good balance of scoring and defense for us. Taylor Acuff's our other starter, Peyton's sister. Both of them are tenacious. They compete. They play hard. And that's why they play for us. You know, they're softball players. We got playing basketball, and they knock the snot out of the softball, as well as does Serena. But these are girls that have bought into basketball at Edgewood, Joe, and you know, it starts on the defensive end, and that's why we've been able to be successful.
That's interesting you bring that up, because I know how key you are on deflections, and you mentioning Serena. She leads you in deflections here after nine games.
That's
and it's always been a key stat for you.
It's always been a key stat for us, because it's something that I know a lot of teams, a lot of coaches at that collegiate level keep that, and for a reason, and so we keep it. And deflections just disrupt the offense. And so Serena being here she is again, guarding the center, leading the team in deflections. Usually that's a perimeter players, you know, out there deflecting the wings and that kind of thing, and here she is doing that.
You're talking about Claire Phillips, and you know, she's playing well, and right now she's your leading assist young lady with 23.
Yeah,
after
and she's got to understand that she gets caught up in the last game. She didn't score, and she was like, I think, 0-for-6 from the field, a little frustrated, but she can do so many things like most point guards do. You know, scoring is secondary sometimes. Get the ball where it needs to be. She had 4 assists in the game the other night. You know, getting the ball where it needs to be, looking ahead in the break. And then when she scores, that's just a real bonus. Well, she can. She can score. So she's doing a nice job for us.
She is indeed, and playing awfully well. And you know, you're looking at, you know, games that you win, and typically when you've got more than the other team, that's a good night for EHS. But that being said, you put 56 on South Vermillion. You scored 49 White River Valley the last time you played. So you're getting some good offense to complement things at the other end of the floor.
And that's a plus. We scored 62 against Linton. We thought, man, we broke 60 points. And we thought hell had frozen over there when that happened. The girls were all excited. Coach, we scored more than 60. We had a couple of games against two really good defensive teams, Bloomington South and South Putt, where we only scored 21. South Putt, we were 7-for-38 from the field. We had one of those games. But, yeah, this team can score, and from a variety of ways, just as long as they're guarding people. Though, like you said, finish on the winning side, and you're good.
Well, that's all that matters. You know that. Gary Sims joining us, the veteran head coach of the girls, the Edgewood Mustangs. Their next outing will be on the road at Cloverdale on Friday night, and then a week from Friday at Cascade. You know, this looks like, well, you played White River Valley 3 days before Thanksgiving, or a couple of days. The break coming at a pretty good time?
Came at a great time. You know, we knew it would. We knew we had all these games bunched up, and then we had the Thanksgiving break. We only practiced once over Thanksgiving on Friday, gave them some, worked them hard yesterday, worked them hard today a little bit, and then we're back off again. So now we get into our conference games.
And mentioning that, you know, the long range is to play deep in the state tournament, and that means winning, obviously, the sectional. You've done a pretty good job with that, knock on wood. How's the WIC with the two divisions? Is it working out as well as you had envisioned?
That's a good question. I like it. You got your division, so you can focus on just your division, and there's six teams in our division, and then six teams in the other division. And so, last year came down to the Olin Valley Gate, which is our big rival, to who was going to win the conference in our division, and then we were able to to win our division and play Northview in the conference playoffs. I always like that. That's kind of a neat concept to have a conference
gives
playoff.
Gives you something to play for.
It gives you something to play you for know? At the end of the year before you get ready for the tournament.
It's a reward.
It's a reward. And so, you know, it's nice to – I like our conference.
Well, and, you know, you were here early when we had the Scott Dolson mm-hmm. stepping in and pinch hitting for Fred Glass. And, Gary, of course, we go way back. I mean, I remember when you were growing up and you stayed and went to Indiana U. And they're honoring the 81 NCAA championship team, which was Coach Bob's second. And you had a lot of fond memories. Take us back down memory lane as we leave Edgewood for just a second to talk about your collegiate days, my friend.
Well, I spent 4 years in Indiana from 78 to 82. So that 80-81 team, I was a junior. There were two head managers. There was Steve Skoronski, who was a senior. Then I was the other head manager as a junior. And, in fact, when you look at the team picture, it's off. I always say it's off balance because Steve's on one side, and then there's an empty spot on the other side. And Coach had said that only senior managers can be in the team picture. So so I always said, you know, hey, look, they photoshopped me out of there or something. But there were two head managers. What I remember about that team was going to Hawaii, Joe, and – that was, you know, if you went 8 days and hell, that was it. You know, that Hawaii was awful. And we came back out of there. I remember Coach turned to me after we lost to Pan American, of all people. We lost the third game. We lost two games. We beat we won the first game, then we lost to Clemson, then we lost to Pan American. And he turned to me in the locker room and said, you get the earliest flight out of here you can. And we ended up flying out of there at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was up 44 hours straight from that. But what I remember about that is, and I heard you talking to Scott about that, was, boy, did that team turn it around. 14-4, Big Ten champs. And then in the tournament, the closest team to us was North Carolina in the final game. 63-50 was the closest anybody got to us throughout the NCAA tournament. And so I mentioned some of the players that Scott talked about. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys tomorrow night. Like, I haven't seen some of them since we graduated.
Yeah, what are you hearing? How many are back? And,
just talking to
Scott.
You
got a little reunion gathering before?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to be we're going to gather at Cook Hall at 5:45 and then have dinner at 6:30 and have some guest speakers come in and then go watch the game. So it's going to be a cool night. I'm looking forward to it. Probably gonna have to wear a name tag. I had a lot of hair back then and didn't have any facial hairs, and you know. But I'm really looking forward to it. Scott said about everybody's coming, and so which is pretty neat. Pretty neat.
Well, it's neat the way things have turned out. You know, Scott was a senior manager on that 87 national championship team, and here you come in tonight talking about your girls' team out of the EHS, and just in time to live a few memories with me on this 81 national championship team. Yeah, you know, when the tournament began, that was a night coaching clinic, and I'll never forget. I mean, you know, we were over at Dayton for the first game against Lefty Drizel in Maryland, and I remember how that game started out because I knew that on Sunday I had to do the Bob Knight Show because Chuck Marlow was going to be away.
Yeah, were you sweating it a little bit?
It was 8-0.
Yeah,
And you know how Coach, he wasn't going to call a timeout, and he didn't call a timeout, and then called a timeout, and I just slumped in my chair.
Yeah, you were already.
Well, anyway, you know how that turned out. It turned into a Hoosier dunk fest.
It was a dunk fest. I remember Tobert Turner was just left and right, just dunking. It was 99-60, if I remember right.
Yeah, and came home here and beat UAB and St. Joe. And when we got to Philadelphia, though, I always say, Gary, that it was a coaching clinic because Bob was way ahead. Of the curve.
Dale Brown.
I'm sorry, Dale Brown and the late Dean Smith. I mean, that was a heck of a basketball club that Carolina had, no question. But
that was an experience you never forget. Obviously.
By the way, you haven't heard any rumors about Coach Knight.
No, I heard that. I saw what Doc has put on Twitter and all
Well, I just thought I'd ask everybody associated with trying to get the feel of the place.
I heard you grill Scott about it too,
Okay. I thought you maybe have some inside team scoop. What was the 81 was the pinnacle. I mean, you know, you're. When you go into the Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and I think it'll be neat for some of the guys that haven't been back, Gary, to see how it's really
how it's changed.
Same old Branch McCracken court, but it's changed a bit. But was that the highlight, or was there a fond moment that you will revere?
I can. No, it wasn't the highlight for me. I tell you what the highlight was for me was when Landon Turner came back after his injury, and for the first time he came back to Assembly Hall, he was in a wheelchair, and somebody needed to push him out. And I got to do that. I got to be the guy to push him out and out onto the court, and everybody's applauding. I'm just thinking, you know, Landon's back, and he's going to be a lottery pick if he hadn't got injured. All those things, and that was a tremendous honor for me to be able to do that. That was really the highlight for me of my 4 years there. It's a little thing,
but
that's more than, you know, I've got a national championship ring out of it and all that. So that was a big highlight. I'm not undermining that at all, but Landon coming back and all that, and me being a part of just, you know, that day was probably it for me.
A very well put together team, and as we mentioned, not only Coach and LT, but Ray and Ted Kitchell and Randy Whitman, Isaiah, all inducted into the IU Athletics Hall
amazing,
of Fame off of the same team. That finished with 9 losses and won that national championship. And that was a tough weekend, because that was the weekend, and most people will remember, the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, and I remember being in the locker room. We didn't know we were going to play the game. We left the hotel room and got in the locker room, and we were just kind of – it was really quiet in the locker room, and we weren't sure whether we were going to play or not. And Coach came in and said, well, we don't know yet, and – I think they delayed it. I can't remember, Joe. Do you remember how long they delayed before the start? 30 minutes maybe?
Yeah, about 30 or 45 minutes.
Yeah. So when they did come in and tell us we were going to play, that the president was going to be okay, then we kind of got geared in, obviously. Randy hit that shot at the end of the first half to put us up 2. And
could still see that right out of the corner.
Oh, yeah, out of the corner. Isaiah,
baseline right.
He said, Isaiah, I was open forever, Isaiah. When did you hit me? And Isaiah obviously got it to him. And then
played Isaiah in the post.
And then Isaiah played the high post as North Carolina ran that trap stuff. And,
you know, I can't remember what I did yesterday.
I know,
Gary,
but we can remember stuff.
But you know, we go back 35 years, and we can remember things like that. It's mind-boggling.
I don't know.
Hey,
yeah.
My friend, thanks for dropping
Joe,
in. And enjoy your night tomorrow night.
Yeah,
and I know
be fun.
You're enjoying what you're doing in your profession.
Great kids.
And you got a lot of basketball to play, and we'll be out there watching you a couple of times and say hi to J.B. Neal. I got to get out there and see what a nice win they had
the other night. They had a great win at Martinsville. They survived 14 threes from Martinsville and locked down a little bit defensively and got some stops and made their free throws. He was talking to him today. They only turned it over 6 times in that game.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yep.
And so good win for JB. Really happy for him and his kids. They've been putting in a lot of time and work.
And, by the way, the next let me get the next home game here so we'll know it. It's going to be the 12th of December against Eastern, the next time you see the Mustang Corral. Yep. Get as many as you can.
Well,
keep winning. I know they're getting well-schooled in how to play, especially defensively if you play for Gary Sims.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I really found what someone echoed what Scott said. You not only the football and boys basketball, but you recognize, I know you had Coach Worthen in here with North Cross Country a few weeks ago. You recognize everybody and how much time these kids put in. Love high school sports and really appreciate what you've done for so many years in Roe County.
Well, it's the kids that you bring in that help my job along, Gary. Hey, have a great week and holiday season ahead. And we'll be back to close it out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi. Well, wrapping up things, and as our chore here, it's not a chore, it's a pleasure to give you the Employee of the Week, and that is Jonah Ballard, and congratulations out to Jonah. And by the way, ordering from Yogi's just got even easier. You can go to www.yogis.com or download the app. You can browse the menu, place an order, pay online, and hey, your order is going to be ready for pickup at your predetermined time. Check us out, okay? And by the way, again, tomorrow on the big screen, place will be jamming in here tonight watching Carolina and Indiana. Have at it on ESPN at 9 in the zone. Dave and Glass, your phone calls coming up tomorrow night. They'll analyze the game as well. First high school basketball game, Terry Stoltz, John Callahan, Bloomington South, and Edgewood down on the home courts, Bedford North Lawrence, the opponent, on the Friday night Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock. Hey, have a great week. It's December when we talk next, and you've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone, from Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill.